This is Jay Sekulow. More controversy from Representative Omar, this time about the terrorist attack on 9/11.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Far too long, we have lived with the discomfort of being a second-class citizen. And frankly, I'm tired of it. And every single Muslim in this country should be tired of it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, the hits keep on coming with this. Some people did something? You mean terrorists? Took aircrafts, turned them into weapons, and flew them into the tallest buildings in New York City, killing 3,000 people. Some people did something, and CARE was formed to do something about it. You mean CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, who is an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation. And a member of the Democratic Party sitting in Congress right now says, some people did something. This is where the politics of the moment are right now. Forgetting your history is a very, very dangerous thing. And recasting that history is even more dangerous. Jordan?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. When you have these members of Congress, and I think with Representative Omar, it should be more specific and more responsibility as a Muslim member of Congress to represent the facts, circumstances correctly. Instead, playing into every stereotype about CARE, about how the Muslim world sees the 9/11 terror attacks and trivializing the 9/11 terror attacks. And when confronted about the trivializing of the 9/11 attacks, cries racism, Islamophobia. You can't discuss it. You can't confront the individuals like Congressman Omar. You can't question anything that she says. But we're not putting these words. I mean, she's going out there specifically making these public comments. No one's digging around for it. It's not like she's – it's
right.
It's literally being said at public events like the CARE fundraising dinner where there's cameras there and making these statements. And I think that's the very serious part. Instead of representing the Muslim community, it's playing into every stereotype you would have.
All right, so, Than, I'm thinking about this. If I'm Nancy Pelosi, if I'm in leadership in the Democratic Party in Congress, a majority party in the United States House of Representatives, and I've got statements like, you know, we're getting penalized because somebody did something coming out of that. How are they responding to this?
Well, ignoring it? Jay, they're treating it like a political problem. And look, I'll give them this. It is a political problem. They've got establishment Democrats like Nita Lowey and Elliot Engel who are concerned about these comments. And then you've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib defending them, Jay. So there is a political problem there. But look, this is a substantive problem, Jay, because this is not just any backbench member of Congress. This is a member of Congress who sits on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And with this string of anti-Semitic remarks and now this disregard for the attacks of 9/11, Jay, she has a disproportionate voice in the foreign policy decisions of the United States. It is a substantive problem, and it is up to Speaker Pelosi and Leader Hoyer to take care of it. And, Jay, at this point, they're treating it like a political problem, and they're hoping it goes away.
Andy, you forget your history, it repeats itself.
Yeah, those
who are rewriting the history here.
Those who forget history or who don't read it are condemned, is the expression, to repeat it. And what we have done is we've condemned ourselves. This was the most horrific attack on American soil that ever occurred. 3,000 Americans lost their lives. They were Muslim fundamentalist terrorists who engaged in the act. That is undeniable. Many were trained in the United States. One actually lived in a hotel near my house in Atlanta, Georgia, and was trained at a field. That is the some people did something. What a despicable remark.
All right, we're taking your calls on this. We're talking about also the Julian Assange situation. He was arrested today, is facing extradition to the United States. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about updates on the Planned Parenthood litigation, briefs going in on that. So we've got a lot to talk about. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. But if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk about all these topics. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with your calls and comments in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular Live. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And we're talking about the statements by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar on 9/11. Some people did something. It was the front page today of the New York Post. And it has the Twin Towers with the 2,977 people dead by terrorism. And here's your something. And she's really, again, not recognizing the outrage, not recognizing what people even take issue with some people did something. She clearly didn't want to say Muslims did this,
Islamic radicals did this.
And specifically, and that's why. And she was wrong on CARE. CARE was already existed before 9/11. So I don't know. Even that is not correct. This conspiracy theory that the Council on American Islamic Relations had to come about because of the 9/11 terror attack. There was not some widespread violence against American Muslims. There never has been that widespread violence. There have been incidents, but still the number one group in the United States that faces threats like this is the Jewish community in America. The most attacks, the most specific. So I think that when you look at everything here, it is, and she's gone on Stephen Colbert, so she's putting herself out there.
Oh, yeah. This is intentional.
It's not tracing some junior member of Congress.
Then. Right. So, Harry, I was asked you this during the break. I think it's worth repeating to the radio audience, and that is this whole idea of what do they think they're accomplishing by this? I mean, what is the – why would you – if you're in leadership of the Democratic Party, why would you say you got to knock this off?
Well, number one, I'm not sure Representative Omar would listen. Number two, I think she has been, for lack of a better term, permanently radicalized. And the more opposition she receives, even from members of her own party, in my view, that pushes her further and further to the left as she embraces, if you will, almost a left-wing conspiracy approach to life. And so she is prepared to diminish the loss of life of 3,000 Americans. And if you go to New York City, you can still see 9/11 memorials. There are still individuals who are recovering amputees, individuals who were injured in terms of rescuing 9/11 victims.
First responders, right.
And some of those people are still dying because of the long-term impacts that they have suffered in terms of ingesting smoke and
chemicals in the air.
Chemicals in the air. And so what Representative Omar is prepared to do is that she is prepared to minimize the suffering incurred by Americans in order to satisfy some left-wing agenda, which is often fabricated and often fictional.
What I don't understand, though, Andy, is you look at, I see what Harry's saying is the end purpose, but that really gets you nowhere. I mean, politically, it's a dead end.
Well, she has no political sense whatsoever. All she is just out there, a voice crying in the wilderness among the Muslims who listen to her. The vast majority of the Muslim community in the United States are good, well-meaning people who go to work every day and do their jobs and are trying to integrate into society. But she is appealing to a core who are radicalized like she is and who do not understand what it is to be an American. Your grandparents and mine came to this country at the beginning of the 20th century, and they became Americans.
Right.
That was what their goal was.
Right.
They forsook their ancient land. They gave up their allegiance to foreign leaders, and they became Americans. And if this had happened in the 19-teens and 1920s, Jay, our grandparents would have decried it and would have said it was a horrible thing to do to the country they loved, instead of making the stupid, foolish, inane remark, some people did something. Yes, some radical Muslims killed 3,000 Americans in New York City.
Innocent Americans. Let me play what Representative Tlaib said supporting Representative Omar, and then I want to get Dan's comment on this.
My sister Ilhan Omar, what she was talking about was uplifting people by supporting their civil liberties and civil rights. She has always condemned any strategy, especially of a person that's directly impacted by being a refugee herself. She sees what terrorism can do. She sees what violence can do to a whole country, to a whole people. Taking it out of context, this is just pure racist act by many of those, hateful acts by those, because she does speak truth.
Okay, so Than, they're not censoring her. They're not censuring her. They're doing nothing. What are they doing here?
Yeah, they're not doing anything. They're demonstrating a fear of the political energy that is behind Congressman Omar, which, by the way, I don't think it's that significant, but Speaker Pelosi is pandering to it right now. And I would tell you this, Congressman Tlaib also took to Twitter and said, shame on the New York Post. By the way, the New York Post, who sits right there by the victims of 9/11, said, shame on the New York Post for taking this issue on. But Jay, here's the point. Speaker Pelosi, I think Jordan's correct that she would not want to pick this fight, but Jay, she has the power to do something about it. And her silence is speaking volumes because she refuses to take Congressman Omar off the House Foreign Affairs Committee. So I don't think she wanted this fight, Jay, and she's got a political problems on her hand, but she is the one with the power to fix it. And by doing nothing, in my view, Jay, she's now part and parcel of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I believe, honestly, they created her. So if this is a junior member...
You're saying they created her politically...
Because they allow her to make the statements, okay, and they don't go at... If it's a junior member of Congress, and you have like, so you have a freshman Republican.
Right.
Most of them get no attention. They don't get airtime. They're not going on Stephen Colbert. They're not engaging. And if they did something this out of line, where you had criticisms and you had condemnations already in the past, you've had to bring this up, that would be it for them. But they're letting her get away with this. And I think it's just very telling about how far they're getting pushed around by a junior member of Congress with no constituency, no major political base, not some strong, gigantic fundraiser. I mean, this was a state rep in Minnesota who won a predominantly Muslim district, basically the only district she could win in the United States,
right,
ever in her entire life.
True.
And yet they're elevating her. So she's going on late night shows, and she's speaking as a Democrat, not as a freshman representative who's an outlier. And that is, I think, what is most hurtful to the Democrat Party. And so short-term benefits of fundraising, short-term benefits of a younger community, they're allowing an Islamic political belief to kind of take over. And I think that's very dangerous for them even in the short term, even into the presidential race. Do you want this person running around representing the Democrat Party?
Yeah, so let's go ahead and take some calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Ron's calling from South Carolina online too. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my
sure.
call. I just find it so disgusting that a representative in America would actually minimize that event of 9/11. And it just infuriates me. I don't know what to say, Jay.
Well, this is the Harry, this is the same. I mean, if you're the policy, you're our policy director. If you're the policy director for the DNC, wouldn't you be saying this is not helpful?
I think you're absolutely correct. And I think if Representative Omar was prepared to even listen to former President Obama, yeah, she would recognize that her statements are not very helpful. President Obama, speaking, for instance, in Berlin last week, announced his support for the idea that immigrants and immigrant communities need to assimilate. They need to absorb the values of the country that they have come to. And so that would require Representative Omar to actually understand the rule of law and the Constitution and the fact that 9/11 was a deeply hurtful experience that cannot be washed away by mere left-wing words.
I think that we're all still, everybody, I think you study history on this, Andy. I think history is going to show that our country is still struggling to get your head around what was able to take place on 9/11. I mean, not that there was just this hatred in the Islamic world, but everything that transpired before that, and that led to that point, and then to minimize it like this,
it is
horrific.
It is. It was a turning point in American history, of course. Yep. You know, in my generation, I think of the assassination of President Kennedy. This was a turning point in history. You don't minimize that event. In the other generations, the attempted assassination of President Reagan. Now, here, we're driving down the street going to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we hear that the Twin Towers has been attacked, and we finally realize that it is Muslim terrorists, not from the yeshiva, not from New York, not Jews, not Greeks, but Muslim terrorists who have attacked the United States and who have killed 3,000 people. That is very important to realize, and you don't trivialize it by just saying out of hand, 19 years later, 20 years later, some people did something. What a foolish and abhorrent remark to make.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about some issues involving Planned Parenthood. We've got three cases we are filing in. One of those briefs has already been filed. Abby Sutherland will be joining us with us, so we're going to talk about that. Back half hour of the broadcast, Julian Assange arrested in the coming out of the Ecuadorian embassy. What does that mean? We're going to get our legal experts to weigh in on that as well. We'll also take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any match you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Case is captioned, State of California versus Alex Azar in his official capacity as U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, United States Department of Health and Human Services. This is a federal lawsuit. We have filed a brief at the district court level, which is not something we often do in these cases as an amicus. Abby Sutherland's here. Abby, let's talk about, first of all, there's not just one. So there's three cases that we're dealing with. Let's kind of set the framework of what we're actually talking about here. What are the issues we're dealing with?
Okay, so the issue is a rule implemented by the Trump administration back in February. It's called the final rule, and it's attached to Title 10, which essentially is a bill that allows Congress to attach conditions to federal funding.
Okay.
And allows Congress to set policy directives. So in this case, it's they're setting policy objectives that support family planning services for low-income families.
Yep.
Rather than promote abortion.
So how big of a change was that from previous rules?
It honestly, since the 70s, Title 10 has always supported family planning services over abortion.
Yep.
In 2000, that switched up a little bit.
Yep.
And so what they're trying to do is redirect and make sure and protect not only those seeking the family planning services, but the healthcare providers.
Yep.
Make sure they're protected and that they can encourage family planning services rather than promote abortion.
So, Fan, how big of a – I was asking that to Abby, too. So how big of a shift is it that we're defending right now?
Yeah, 180 degrees, Jay. I mean, let me put it to you this way. The statute that underlines this program says that none of the funds appropriated in it can be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. But, Jay, for decades – the regulations out of the Department of Health and Human Services have actually required the exact opposite. They say that to get these funds, you have to refer and counsel for abortion. So exactly the opposite of what Congress said they must do. So the Trump administration, Jay, has changed this 180 degrees, but they've changed it 180 degrees so that it now complies with federal law. It says that pro-life centers that want to engage in family planning services can get this. And, Jay,
change.
It restores the federal prohibition against those dollars going to abortion. And Jay, let me tell you this. This is not just a win to make sure abortionists don't get tax dollars. This is a win to make sure that poor women who need these services as they're preparing for a family, Jay, that those dollars from the federal government that were intended for them, that they reach them.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that it's, again, very specific. And you see that the battle's going on. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But it's important. I think that the bigger picture when you step back is that these battles are being had. You know, the life battles are being had. We were talking about before we went on here today the amount of
we're going to get to that in a minute.
Pro-life legislation. The amount
it's
of
huge.
The states that are taking action and saying, you know, we will battle this. Well, we know the fight's coming. We know the lawsuit's coming. But we're willing to fight it out.
So let's talk about what we filed. So we filed one. We've got three briefs that are going in the file. We filed the first one.
Filed the first one in a district court yesterday in California.
Okay.
We have two more that we will file on Monday in Oregon district court.
Federal Same
district
issue?
Court. Same issue.
Okay.
Essentially, states don't want, they want federal funding, but they don't want to comply with the policy objectives.
Yeah, so especially one. States that are very liberal on their abortion laws. Andy, what's your sense of reading the briefs?
Well, we've done an excellent job in crystallizing the issues, and I'm very proud of the brief that we've written in the case, and I think it's very persuasive, and I think it's something that we should be proud that the American Center for Law and Justice is weighing in on this issue and has done, as I said, and I've read the brief just this morning, and I thought it was an excellent job of presenting the case on behalf of life.
Yeah. So, Harry, you look at the, because I'm going to ask Abby in a moment, the number of life legislations, but there is a shift happening, there's no question, on the life issue. And it's both litigation and legislation. There is, and there's a, I think there's a consensus starting to build that we need to be supporting more of a culture of life.
I think that is correct. And I think the American Center for Law and Justice has consistently engaged states and the federal government to advance the pro-life cause, including filing amicus briefs in important cases, and many of these important cases issue forth from the Ninth Circuit.
Uh-huh.
And they're filed there for a particular reason.
Right.
It's important to note that, as the brief says in one of the cases, the one that we have filed, is that a preliminary injunction is an extraordinary and drastic remedy.
And that's what they're trying to, the states are trying to get a preliminary injunction against the law.
Precisely. And so the states essentially are alleging that there's a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act and a violation of the First Amendment, even though the regulation is in full compliance with the statutory language. So one of the things that is very, very important for listeners to know is that the Trump administration is attempting to do what? To follow the law. Prior administrations were allowing the law to be effectively amended by bureaucrats, experts who believe that individuals in the United States should not be able to control their own lives consistent with the rule of law. So this is a very, very important brief that we have filed.
Let's go back to the phone. Scott's called in from South Carolina on line one. Scott, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
First, I want to say to the colonel, second to none, brother. Been there, done that. This is a great thing that the president's doing, you know, protecting the Hyde Amendment. However, the problem lies in the government's willingness to allow Planned Parenthood to self-audit. I read the 2016 audit, and it was all done on their own. So they're not going to tell the truth that they're using our federal funds for abortion.
Well, it is. I mean, there's no question that it's a move. Abby, it moves. They're just, some of this is they move money around. They say we're not using it for abortion, but it frees them up by getting these funds for other projects. It frees them up to use their own funds for abortion.
Right, right.
So that's part of the problem here.
It is.
Okay,
it
so is. Let's talk about the legislation, though. The movement on pro-life legislation, I think, is unprecedented, given that numbers are staggering. So what do we have?
They are. It's estimated that there have been 250 pro-life bills introduced into state legislatures since 2019. So just in the last 3 months, 250 pro-life measures.
This year. I mean, this tells you the shift that is taking place. Now, we got to be smart in that legislation. Is there any doubt in your mind that any pro-life bill passed in any state, Abby, will be challenged? Is there any doubt in your mind?
No doubt. They will all be challenged, as has already been demonstrated, regardless of whether it's a heartbeat bill, a bill to ban all abortions, or a bill just to limit the funding of abortions.
What does the heartbeat bills generally say?
Generally, that once you can detect a heartbeat in the mother's womb, you can no longer commit an abortion, unless there's always the life of the mother exception.
So basically recognizing the personhood of the unborn child. Mm-hmm. But now in the House of Representatives, then there's going to be no pro-life legislation moving forward. No question?
Yeah, nothing's going to move unless, Jay, you can do it through a discharge petition, which there is one existing on the Born Alive of Abortion Survivors Act. There's 200 signatures on it right now, need 18 more. But Jay, just really quickly to echo Abby's point, Maryland, where I live, they're so extreme that they just passed a law and sent it to the governor. We're waiting to see if he's going to sign it, that said, we're not going to take any of those federal dollars because we can't use it for abortions. So, Jay, they're putting on me, the Maryland resident, the obligation to make up that shortfall. That's how extreme they are.
It's the abortion distortion factor. We talk about it a lot, whether it's legislation, litigation, whatever it might be. There it is. But the clear that there is a move for life. First 30 minutes is gone. That was quick. We're here for another 30, though, so we'll take your calls and comments when you come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Julian Assange extradition that's going to be coming.
Yeah, to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To talk to us live here on JSecio Live, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so we're back, and we've got a lot to talk about. We spent some time talking about the Ilhan Omar. I'm going to show this for our TV audience, but I'll also read it to our radio audience. So Representative Ilhan Omar said 9/11 was some people did something. Some people did something. And the New York Post put up, here's your something. And it's a picture of the towers being attacked by the terrorists in 9/11. And we talked about the impact of this. And we're still, all of us are still trying to figure out what the political purpose of all this is. Jordan, what is the political purpose of this? I'm trying to figure, why are they having them out there saying these things?
I think
that's such
far,
a small constituency. Yeah, constituency.
The far left is seeing how far they can push. And right now they could do basically, they're showing, and this is the Bernie Sanders, Democrat, socialist, this kind of new left, and they're showing they can push. And they're not going to be taken off the committees, so they get rewarded with foreign affairs committee assignments. Like we're talking about, a normal junior member of Congress, you could slap this down pretty quickly if you wanted to. Nancy Pelosi could distance quickly the Democrat Party from this, because you could say you lose your committee assignments from day one of this, and you have to earn it back. So that's basically, and just leave it there. Earn your seat back, but you can't be there right now. And instead,
yep,
they're getting away with it. And I think that is why it's fair attention. Most freshman members of Congress don't get this kind of attention. But she's making the statement. She keeps going out there making these statements, showing up on late night shows, being accused of anti-Semitism, not just from Republicans, but Democrats as well, and her own party.
But they're not silencing her. No, they're afraid to, is what it sounds like to me. Is that fair, Andy?
Yeah, they're working on the concept of fear. And whenever you work on the concept and you predicate everything you do on fear, you lose. Here is a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. This is an outrage, Jay, that a woman like this, elected to Congress, is on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and she makes statements about September 11, one of the worst events in American history, analogous to the bombing of Pearl Harbor, but on the continental soil of the United States, and she makes
targeting
a statement.
Civilians.
Targeting civilians. 3,000 people are killed. People are jumping out of windows. The firefighters are being put at risk. The mayor is out there trying to calm the city down. The country is in a terror mode. The president is called back to Washington. It is the worst event ever in American history, continentally speaking, and she makes the statement, some people did something. Someone needs to put a gag on her, and Pelosi needs to be the one to do it.
So what is the calculus, though, Harry? That's what I'm trying. What is the political calculus in this? Why is this helpful?
Well, I'm not sure it is helpful politically, but I think it is helpful at least from this particular perspective. If your life is motivated largely by resentment, this is one way of expressing your resentment. Mm. Your resentment against the West. Resentment apparently against the rule of law. Resentment apparently against any country that is no longer apologizing or pandering to what, for instance, the West, and particularly the United States, has done in the Middle East. So I think the calculus is grounded in resentment, at least in part.
Listen to what she says on Stephen Colbert last night.
You see this outrage when I speak the truth. Everyone else's truth is allowed, but my truth can never be.
Did they clap after that, I wonder? I'm going to find that out, Jordan.
Probably. I mean, and these are these statements, not getting pushed on, made up truth.
Yeah.
So I get my truth. That is one of those statements, again, where you should be kind of taken aback by. And what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? You get your truth.
I speak the truth. Everyone else's truth is allowed, but my truth can never be. And her truth is some people did something and we get blamed for it. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, facing extradition. We're going to talk about that. Get your comments on it. You want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take calls on a variety of topics, obviously. Also, don't forget, ACLJ Matching Challenge on the life issue. One brief filed, two more to be filed next week. ACLJ.org for that. That's ACLJ.org. And again, we'll take calls on what's going to mean for this Julian Assange situation with WikiLeaks. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Assange has been arrested in London, taken out of the Ecuadorian embassy. Julian Assange, the noted founder of WikiLeaks. The United States has been pursuing him for a while.
Yeah, it's over 7 years. I think some reminder there about WikiLeaks, because the world has changed a lot in the nearly a decade, is that this was working with Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, spending solitary confinement, remember that, nearly 10 years, right, and commuted by President Obama. Also, a lot changed in Latin America. So in South America, where he was based, this was when he first went into the Ecuadorian embassy. He had a far left wing, kind of anti-Western, anti-American, the anti-imperialism, kind of classic South American president, who was, of course, educated at Harvard. Now, though, you've had a right wing shift there. And so this new government, Ecuador, said, the amount of money they were paying for security to keep the police out and to allow this to go on nearly a decade. Again, you're talking about years and years and years. And they said, no more. We're not paying for this as a country. And they announced it this morning. They let the police in. And really, the charge is not so much UK-based, but is, as the UK court said, it is the US charge that is kind of leading the way here. And it's serious. But I think to remind people, it goes back to the Chelsea Manning. That's it. And the, did he take the next step past just getting information, but acting and in
to
the
acquire it.
In the emails, it is that saying, break into the system, then give me the information. So encouraging the hack.
The hack of national security information, Andy. So this is not only is it a serious espionage charges and hacking, but this put our national security at risk.
That's right. It's the violations are twofold. One is a violation of the conspiracy statute, 18 U.S.C. 371, which I've used many times as a prosecutor, and the other is a violation of Computer Intrusion Act, which is 18 U.S.C. 1030, both of which combined say you don't knowingly access a computer without authorization and try to get unauthorized disclosure of national defense and foreign security information of a secret nature and to use that information potentially to injure the United States and to the advantage of a foreign nation, and that's what he did. So that's a felony, and these are extraditable offenses under our treaty with the United Kingdom.
All right, so what does that mean when you say extraditable? Okay. What happens now?
All it means is we have a treaty with the United Kingdom, and all you got to prove is two things to get him over. here once you've apprehended him. One, that he is the same Julian Assange named in the indictment,
yep.
Okay, not somebody else. And two, that it is an extraditable offense. And usually, if it's a felony in the country that is demanding the extradition, it, as this is, it would be extraditable by a British court.
Harry, how do you think Julian Assange is viewed right now in the body politic?
Well, I think there's actually a mixed view on Julian Assange. There are individuals who see him as some type of rebel, some type of revolutionary. But it is clear beyond question that if the allegations contained in the indictment are true, that he engaged in conduct which adversely affected the national security interest of the United States. And it's important to note that the facts of this case, that the grand jury indictment were brought under the former administration, under the Obama administration.
Right.
It's important to note that Corporal Manning downloaded hundreds of thousands of documents concerning the Afghan war, the Iraqi war, the Guantanamo base, and these secrets. The disclosure of this top secret information could put, probably has put, American lives at risk. And so this is clearly and unmistakably unacceptable behavior if we are going to continue to operate as a constitutional republic and certainly in terms of our geopolitical presence in the world.
So, Than, in Washington, because you've got this kind of weird culture shift on WikiLeaks and how they're viewed, how's it viewed in Washington?
Well, there's going to be a split, but Jay, I think for the second consecutive day, you see the Trump administration demonstrating that they will take abuse of power very seriously. And look, I think a lot of it goes back to the history that Jordan talked about, this seven-year history. Remember, the Obama administration treated Assange strictly as a journalist, and that started to change as soon as the new administration came in. In fact, in Secretary Pompeo's first speech, granted he was the second Secretary of State, but he said if WikiLeaks walks like a hostile intelligence service and talks like a hostile intelligence service, then that is clearly what they are. Jay, that change in designation from the State Department, I think, plays a big role in this, and is directly counter to what some of the intelligence community wanted President Obama to do in 2014. President Obama was hesitant to do that. That shift inside the State Department, I do think, played a big role in this, Jay.
So where do you think that leaves us, Jordan? I look at the situation. I view this as an individual that knowingly encouraged the violation of U.S. law for the purpose of harming the country.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like Nancy writes on Facebook, why now? It's a long time in the U.S.
Retrace that. People understand he's been in an Ecuadorian, he's been asylum seeking, basically.
Yes, by a leftist government that was holding him and taking in his bills and putting up the security system for him. And when the shift happened there, so it was in Ecuador, and the shift happened to more conservative government, suddenly that government doesn't want to pay for this anymore. They announced it this morning that we're not going to handle this anymore. A massive outcry in Ecuador, obviously. This was very political by the leadership there. But it's seven, you know, plus years in the making. So it's been a long time, and people are wondering, you know, what's the impetus? Now, there was not a specific. I do think Dan's right that the change has been in the U.S. leadership specifically, but also the idea that when you look at this in the broader sense, we're not going to accept this behavior from members of our military, from those who have the security clearances. That's part of this was the top-level security clearance with Colonel Manning, and so abusing the security clearance privilege, and of course, this the broader picture of WikiLeaks. So I get that people have kind of seen this differently, and we do see I do believe that we see the world differently 7 years later online and what's secret and what's not secret and what should be treated this way. But this was highly classified information that you had to have a top-level security clearance to get to. It was abused by a member of our own military. Justice was served there. And ultimately now, I think justice will be done in this case.
So the question that where it leaves you is, what actually happens now, Andy? I mean, what will be the process on this.
Okay, he's entitled to have a lawyer appointed in the United Kingdom to contest extradition to the United States, but as I
which
said...
Which he will, or do you think he will?
Yes, he's going to contest extradition every step of the way. I'm sure of that. But all the issues are, is he the same Assange named in the indictment from the Eastern District of Virginia? And he obviously is, and we can prove that without any question. And is it an extraditable offense, meaning is it something other than a traffic citation? It's a felony, it's a conspiracy, and therefore it is extraditable, which means we can get him back here and put him on trial, which is what we ought to do. And I think the British courts, thank goodness we are dealing with the British courts where the rule of law prevails similar to us. That's from which we obtain our jurisprudence. And therefore, they will fully understand the procedure.
What was the, I'm trying to remember what the policy rationale, I mean, the president has the authority to pardon. We know that. So, because he pardoned Chelsea Manning, the president did, President Obama did. But according to all the information that's coming out now, and Chelsea Manning right now, I guess, is back in jail for contempt for refusing to testify about Assange. But what was the reason that the president, I can't remember off the top of my head, that President Obama commuted the sentence? I don't think it was a pardon, it was a commutation.
I think it. You're right that it was
the authority, yes, the absolute authority
to do it. Commutation, but I also think this is just an intuition of mine that President Obama was attempting to curry favor with individuals who oppose United States defense policy and the footprint of the United States throughout the world. And so I think it's important to keep in mind Manning's, let's say, objectives. The objective was to weaken the United States, to damage U.S. national security interests. There are many people in the United States that believe that we have no right to defend our interests anywhere in the world. And so I think President Obama was probably trying to curry favor with those individuals.
All right, so we're going to be taking a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls. Last segment, so we'll talk about any topic. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to take Eric's call when we come back, so tell Eric to hang on the line there. We'll take some other calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. And we are in our matching challenge campaign.
That's right. This is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. You go online to aclj.org. Whatever you donate online right now is doubled, so you double the impact of your donation. That's at aclj.org. This is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. So go to aclj.org. You'll see matching challenge. Whatever you donate is matched by a donor. So you're charged what you're charged and what you decide to donate, but it will be matched. So you're doubling the impact of your donation. aclj.org. We'll be right back on JSEC Hill.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support.
Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. We're going right to our phones. Last segment, so we take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to the phones.
Eric's calling from New Mexico on line one. Eric, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love everything you guys do. I support everything you do. I have a comment. I have a service member who got sent to New York City after 9/11 and find it very offensive what Omar says.
Yes.
My question is, how do we go around Pelosi to get her removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee?
I'm going to go right to Than Bennett on that. The answer is going to be that's who has to do it. But go ahead, Than.
Yeah, you can't go around the Speaker. These decisions, Jay, are made by the steering committee of the Democrat Party, which is controlled by Speaker Pelosi. She's got the most votes, followed by Leader Hoyer. But, Jay, let me just tell the caller it very simply. They're trying to have this one both ways. They're trying to say we don't like her comments, but they're refusing to do what it takes to remove her. And I agree with Jordan. They not only created her in many ways by letting her have this attention without repercussions, but, Jay, I think they've enabled her as well. She's not entitled to any committee seat, but they have chosen her to place her on the committee that gives these kind of views the most audience. So at this point, they are part of the problem, and they are the only way that that problem goes away, save, Jay, her not being reelected by her constituents.
I want to play her soundbite again because I think it's important for you to understand what she said that was so offensive.
CARE was founded after 9/11. Because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I think that right there, I mean, this not naming it, some people who did something, us losing access to civil liberties, that's not even true. I mean, the truth is the American Muslim community did not face some gigantic backlash. They kept talking it up. It didn't happen in the United States. It's not how our country operates. And again, it could have been an extremely, extremely sensitive time. And instead, I think the people were very careful. That being said, she's wrong about when CARE was founded. People don't really want to point that out. She makes these broad statements about the 9/11, but if you listen to that and you don't know, you wouldn't even know.
Right.
You wouldn't know what she was talking
about.
Something
happened by some people.
Yeah.
What does it say? Some people did something, Andy.
Yeah, some people did something. Islamic fundamentalists, terrorists, hijacked airplanes and ran them into the Twin Towers in New York City, killing 4 million people.
4,000 people.
I'm sorry.
3,000 is the right number.
2,977 to be exact, and traumatizing a nation at the time of 300 million people. So I was close in what I really meant to say. But that is what some people did. Something, and you need to say what it is.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call. 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, Michael in Minnesota on line three. Michael, welcome to Jason.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for your years of service to our Constitution. I just have two quick questions.
All right.
He's in the news lately. Did Julian Assange break any laws?
All right, so let's start with that one. We'll get to the second question. I'll come back to you. Did he break any laws? Andy? Harry?
Yeah. Well, according to the grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia, there is probable cause to believe that he broke two laws. One, he conspired with somebody to violate the laws of the United States and specifically to commit computer intrusion, that is to say, to go into the computers of the United States and to get with his co-defendant, co-conspirator, and to get secret information that injures the country. So there are 16 of 23 people found there was probable cause to believe he committed those violations and ought to be tried for them.
And so, Harry, the shift is that some view Julian Assange, I don't share this, I think he should be prosecuted. They view him as a hero, though, some people. But this was Defense Department secrets.
Absolutely, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of pieces of data concerning the Afghanistan war, the Iraqi war, detainees at Guantanamo. And so this would likely involve the approach, methods that we would engage in, for instance, in apprehending apprehending terrorists in Iraq, in Afghanistan, dealing with terrorists who have already been apprehended in Guantanamo. So this is very, very serious. I think, unlike the prior administration, this administration is taking this particular activity very seriously. And I think Andy is absolutely correct, as he always is, that there was indeed probable cause based on the grand jury's investigation.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. We're getting the calls now. But I think the important part about this specifically, and people, I think you do have to remind people, is that you have to remind people that 7 years in the making, what was done here, what was not done here.
Oh, that's right. I need to go. Let me go back to Michael's second call before you go into that, Jordan. I'm sorry. That was my fault. Go. Well, we lost him. All right, go ahead. Now you can finish.
Yeah, it's that this was a long time in the making, and how we may view this data today and how we may view online security today. Remember, try to remember a decade ago. I mean, this was, again, I think even a bigger breach at right. the time than maybe we would accept a decade. It's nearly a decade later. And in the technology world, that is a very long time. And I that's what I think is missing with some of the outrage or just, I don't think that people were upset with Chelsea Manning, Bradley Manning being prosecuted, spending 7 years in prison, most of that in solitary confinement, and the Obama administration saying it's been long enough.
Yep.
So this is different.
There's an interesting, Mitch had a second question, and I want to get to that, and that was the election in Israel and what it means. Well, you know, first, some of the media reporting was how close it was between the Likud party, Netanyahu's party, and Blue and White, which is the more, you know, center-left party. The fact is, it looks like when you put the coalitions together, it's not close at all here, Harry. I mean, it's a lot of the left-wing parties in, and then, by the way, that's not a pejorative. They call themselves left-wing parties. I mean, there's another party called the New Right Party. I mean, this is the way they work in Israeli politics.
Some of those parties were unable to
cross the threshold.
Cross the threshold in order to be seated in the Knesset. So I think this is a very, very important development. And so I think at the end of the day, despite the conflicting news reports early on reporting on the election, this is a tremendous victory for Netanyahu.
Yep.
And it's also a tremendous victory, I think, for the United States in terms of our ability to maintain our policies in support of the only democracy in the Middle East, and also to ensure the sovereignty and the security of that democracy.
I do think you will see a move for a Palestinian-Israeli peace plan coming forward very soon. And I think that having Netanyahu there will help that come to pass. A lot of issues are being taken off the table, and I think that's a good negotiating strategy. So, Than, you're saying everybody's waiting for next week, though, in Congress.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of the news, Jay. I think there's going to be a lot of attention on what the Attorney General said yesterday about spying, and I think that's a good thing. But yeah, Jay, the news that may come in the next few days, a lot of folks here waiting for it.
I suspect so, whatever that news is. All right, we'll be taking your calls tomorrow. We're going to have a Friday. So we have an open phone Friday. I don't know. How dangerous is that, Will? Dangerous, Will said. But, you know, it's like what was it, Top Gun? What was that line in Top Gun? I can't remember it exactly, but it was like danger something, so we're not afraid of that. All right, so tomorrow we'll take your calls. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We encourage you to become part of the team. There's a lot of ways to do it. Go to the website and certainly connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.